Okay. All right. Oh, so I was just looking at the last time we did an episode of this, and it was the end of February. And I think that makes sense, because that's pretty much when work started to pick up for me.
Okay. So it's been a while.
Yeah. Since February, I've been working later into the evening, but I'm on vacation now. It let up. We're going into certification soon, so there's nothing more I can do. Well, I can still set stuff up for patches, right? But So in the meantime, I've been playing Kingdom Come Deliverance. And I don't know why. Well, okay, I know why I sat on this game. I know why I didn't try to play it, because I saw the combat system and was just like, I don't think I want to do that. Yeah. I saw the combat thing and the amount of like gear that you have to put on, because it's like Total Renfest, where like every single layer of like padding and armor and stuff is all available, right?
How many cod pieces do you have?
Surprisingly, zero, I think. I have...
That's historically inaccurate.
I have... What is it? I've got... There's like two... wait, okay, let me think through this. I could probably just pull up a page, but let me try to get it. There's three, or I think there's four layers you can put on just your chest, right? So there's like a shirt, a heavier shirt, some kind of mail, and then an additional, like a chain mail, and then a plate mail, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's pauldrons, like arm stuff, gloves. There's pants, so you can wear like pants, and then over the pants you have some kind of other, like it can be a cloth or a chainmail thing on top of that. And then you can put on like regular boots or plate boots, and the plate boots take the place, they take up a slot for like leg armor and boots. And then you've got, you have a cloth, I don't know how to pronounce it. I want to say coif.
Coif?
Coif?
C-O-I-F?
Yeah, it's coif. Yeah, like coiffing, yeah, your hair. So there's like coif, there's a cloth coif and a male coif. And then a helmet. But you can also just put on a hat. And so you've got that, and then you've also got like a bow and your arrows, different kinds of arrows. There's like seven kinds of arrows, and then different melee weapons like longsword, short sword,
feather,
hammer or mace or axe,
back scratcher.
So there's all of these, like all of this different gear stuff. And it was very like watching videos of it, especially the combat stuff, because the combat, they give you like this 5-pointed star. That's your targeting system on a dude. But there's actually 6 points, because there's like both legs, both arms, head, and then like just like stabbing
the crotch. Oh,
like the stabbing forward. And so I saw that and I thought, man, that's a lot of, it's really overly complicated for a combat system.
So is it like VATS?
No, but I mean, it, yes and no. Like it is kind of like VATS, because targeting different things targets like it damages armor pieces, but also damages limbs, or if you smack them in the head, you can like knock them out right more easily if you just like smack them in the head. But so I start this game because I'm like, well, the second one came out. I never played the first one. Let me just see if it's any good. And you start off and you're just a dude. You're like the son of a blacksmith. And I felt like this game did a decent job of making combat feel bad because you don't know how to do it. And like they, you know, at the beginning of the game, they have this thing where like the Turks, you know, rush in and kill everybody in your town and kill your parents. And the people are yelling at you like, don't try to fight them. They're going to kill you. You don't know how to fight people. And, you know, you find out through the gameplay, it's true. You don't know how to fight people. And you can get like, so I ended up going and like doing a bunch of side quests and stuff and not doing the main plot. And thinking to myself, dang, the combat in this game is so hard. Like five guys in armor will rush up on me and I've got like two jackets and a pair of pants and a sword. And I'm like, what the heck am I doing here? And they would just like destroy me, right? Like it would take like two hits and I'd be dead. And I couldn't even like get a hit on them because they would just like parry it or something. Well, if you do the main quest, you like get to a guy who's like, hey, the Lord wants you to be part of our army, so I guess I gotta train you. And then he like unlocks perfect blocks.
All of the combat maneuvers.
Yeah, like he unlocks perfect blocks and he unlocks and then you have to like go back to him and he unlocks like parrying and and riposte, right? So like that completely changed everything. And but what I had been doing before that was just doing sneak attacks on people, like like crouching up behind them and like grabbing them from behind and then carrying their body off and killing them. Oh, because this is one thing that I don't like about the game. Stealth kill is an option and you have to like carry a dagger to do it and you have to sneakily get up on a guy. But it still makes noise. Like stealth kill is not a stealth kill. It is an alert kill that you can do from behind. And I don't know if it's just like my, I don't know. I don't know what it is about my stats, but like,
I just don't do it. Maybe you haven't unlocked the story content where some sneaky thief guy tells you how to do a stealth kill.
Yeah. That is a funny thing. Like one of the first guys you meet is a guy who's like, hey, I'm secretly a thief, so I can teach you how to like pick locks and pick pockets and stuff. And here's a bunch of errands to do. And but yeah, so there's also this like tournament thing, which I didn't realize was a DLC quest, but there's a tournament you can enter and you win pieces of gear for beating and money for beating it. And like I tried that before doing the main quest stuff where I learned all the moves, then I somehow made it to like the final round without that. But then when I learned all the moves, it was like, oh, okay, like I can beat these guys in like 3 seconds and it doesn't take me all day to like beat one guy. And so now I can take on like five guys at once and like come out not unscathed, but like alive, which is like way better than I was able to do before. But yeah, I think it's a pretty good game. Also, the quest design is interesting because they actually do a decent job of like, if you've got certain skills that you've specced into, like medicine or, you know, alchemy or something, which like there's no magic in this game, but there is potions, and the potions are like some of them are kind of magic-y. It's like, you know, this one gives you plus to speech, or this one gives you plus to lockpick, right? But then there's also just like, this is poison. You could make poison. So yeah, my kind of the thing that I find myself doing the most is getting into scenarios where people think they're going to ambush me, because when you fast travel, people try to ambush you all the time. Which the funny thing is, fast travel is, from a UI perspective, faster than riding your horse someplace. But it is technically in-game time slower than just like riding straight through like open fields and stuff, because you got to go like through all the roads and things. And you get waylaid, right? So you get like ambushed by people. But what I tend to do is like, it's very easy to see where they're going to ambush you from. So you get off your horse and then you sneak around behind them, and then you just silently like knock them all out, and then like kill them after you've knocked them all out.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you kill them while they're knocked out, everybody's going to hear you kill them.
Yeah. I don't know. Every game I play that has horse in it,
uh-huh,
I never use the horse. It's always totally stupid.
Oh, yeah. Because, you want to use the horse in this game.
Well, okay. But is there like ingredients and shit that you can gather in the forest and crap? You said there's potion making.
Yeah, there's ingredients and stuff.
So like, that's why I never do it. Like every game. So I just played through all of the Witcher games, right? And The third one, they gave you the horse. And I assume they just did it because like Roach is like, they need to have Roach in the game for that character. But like, it's total useless garbage. Every game that has like what's the other game? Like the Horizon games, You know, like you can like tame a robot and make it a horse. Totally worthless.
Yeah, I didn't do that in the
totally
Horizon.
Dumb, totally worthless.
And I did like, it using... in I did it all the time in Witcher though.
No, it was total trash worthlessness. And like
I don't understand that at all.
Well, because it would take you 10 times, because like you said, to use the horse at all, you have to go on the roads because it gets stuck on every single rock if you're going through the forest. So I would just get off the horse and just abandon it wherever and just beeline straight through the forest and get to where I need to. And then I get to pick out all the stuff and kill monsters and get extra things on the way. But if you're on the horse, you're just like riding over there, and it's just like a total waste. And it's total dumb. It's total waste.
Yeah,
everything. Like you get nothing out of it.
Right. You get time you're not spending running through the forest is what I get out of it.
It's not any faster, though.
It was definitely so faster than me. Like, I didn't get it stuck on. I think you're just a bad horse rider is what it sounds like.
No, because it's like, okay, if I want to get there and I have to take a road, it's like, do this giant U-turn over here, but I could just cut across right there and I'm there.
I mean, you probably don't have to take the road.
No, anytime I try to use the horse, he gets like stuck on bushes and like pixels and shit.
And yeah, I think that's your
because I like climb up rocks and like jump off cliffs and stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, I did that with the horse.
No, horse can't do it. Horse is stupid.
I did that all the time with the horse. I don't know what you're talking about.
And then like other games. Oh, Cyberpunk, like where they like, oh, you can drive a car somewhere. No, totally dumb. I hated it. It was the worst.
Yeah, that game, that game was interesting because you could get yourself to a point where you might be able to run faster than car. And so,
if you're driving a car, you just miss out on anything, like any extra things you can find.
Oh, well, the fun thing about Cyberpunk was when I played it, there was nothing to find. There was the same two or three, you know, predetermined places where a gunfight would happen. But other than that, like, there really wasn't anything interesting outside of like really bespoke things. So, but I know you played the game much later than I did. So stuff was almost completely different. Like they had an economy that you could partake in, and you could like utilize crafting. And so those are two things that were basically non-functional. Like that was the most worthless waste of time whenever I played it. So like, yeah, using, and you had to use the car because also fast travel was completely stupid, and you couldn't, you had to like go to a bus stop or something and use a terminal so you could fast travel to another terminal. And I'm like, well, this is, takes me longer to find the terminal than it does to just drive to where I'm trying to go.
Yeah, I didn't have, I didn't have that problem. And that's the same way, I think that was the same way I did The Witcher. It's just, you could fast travel to certain, it was the same thing, except instead of a bus stop, it was like a little wooden old timey sign.
Yeah.
And you could travel between those. That was still way faster than horsing it around like an idiot.
Man, they must have added more signs because it would always take me so long to find a sign. Or especially in Cyberpunk, like those things were so few and far between. It was just like, why do you even bother?
I don't know. Any game that had a horse in it, like Oblivion and Skyrim, like a horse is, again, totally dumb. It's just
Well, Oblivion and Skyrim, yeah, the horse doesn't make any sense.
Why not just let you, I mean, if they would just let you grab ingredients on the horse, then I might consider using them. But none of them did that. Because like, that was the thing. It's like, I'd be riding along and then it's like, okay, here's a whole buttload of ingredients. Let me get off the horse and then go pick all that stuff up. And then I go get back on the horse to do it. And like that, but if I'm just running on foot, then I just like pick it all up as I go. And it's just, and it's 10 times faster.
I think you're overestimating how useful the ingredients are in this game you haven't played. You're also underestimating how useful having a horse as storage. And
I don't know. I'll bet you $50. I never use the horse. If I play that game, I'm probably never going to use the horse.
You're going to use the horse, if nothing else, as a backpack.
Well, but is there like a magic summon the horse button?
Yes.
And that's it.
There's a magic summon the horse button. There's a magic transfer equipment to the horse button.
Yeah.
But the other thing is like you have like every time you run around, I mean, I guess you could just take your shoes off, right? But if you run around with shoes on, like that wears your shoes out really fast. And so you end up like knocking off, you know, quality points on your shoes, just like running around. Now, so like I spent several hours with no horse, right? And it was just like running from point to point or fast traveling or what have you, and like running, sprinting through the forest and stuff like that. And that's a pain in the ass, but you can do that on a horse and you can jump over things on a horse like so much easier. Like the horse is really useful in this game.
I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it. I use the vehicles like 0% of the time in all open world games.
But yeah, it's
like the only time I used the vehicles in Cyberpunk was when you had to go like 30 miles out into the desert because there was just like literally nothing in between those two like points.
Yeah, I just don't have the patience for that. Like it's,
well, I just get frustrated on like not being able to like grab all the stuff that I'm seeing as I'm driving by or whatever.
I don't know what all of this stuff is that you're talking about.
I don't know.
The best, here's the thing. The best stuff is what I was trying to talk about before, where like I sneak up on people, I take all their stuff, because the best and most expensive stuff is other people's armor, right? Uh-huh. And so that's kind of where I discovered I needed the horse, because I could only take at that time like half a suit of armor before I was like completely overburdened. And like, like if you're overburdened, you can't run and you can't jump. And so,
oh my gosh, you have no idea how much. So like while you were playing that, I played through all the Witcher games, I think in the span that's from now and before, but like, you have no idea how much, like I hate played certain parts of those games where I would get like overburdened. And then like, I'm like, nope, fuck you game. I'm just going to be walking at like barely movable speed until I can find a place to drop these items off, because I am not dropping these items.
Oh, man.
And like the second game, The Witcher 2, was like the worst, because I don't know what the deal was, but there was like I played the intro, like the little tutorial thing, and there's like a shitload of barrels and like people to rob. So I like took all their stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
And then something happened between like the end of, like when I finished that and then the next chapter, but like I don't know what it was, but then like I was like 15 pounds overweight when I got to the next act.
Uh-huh.
Even though like I hadn't done anything different, it was like something about I don't know what it was. It's like my character stats changed or something, and I'm just like, what the frig? And I'm like, well, I'm not dropping any of this stuff. These assholes are gonna just have to put up with me walking around at 2 feet at 2 miles an hour until I can find that. And then like, and then I got to like, there was like some, there was like a part like where I was like in an escort mission, like while I'm still overburdened and barely able to move, and like this mage like puts up a barrier. It was like Triss, I think. She like put up some kind of barrier that was like preventing arrows from like hitting us from elves, and I have to like moving 2 miles an hour keep up with this constantly moving like protection spell. Otherwise, I'm just getting pummeled with arrows, and I'm like, nope. Still not dropping anything. and then I'm but the thing is, it like only slowed down my walking speed. It did not slow down my combat speed or anything. So I could still like beat the crap out of stuff. So like when enemies would like come in to melee range, and I'd still like beat the crap out of them, and I would like move around like twice as fast when I was in combat mode.
Uh-huh.
Like once you had your sword out, you could move. It was weird. Like you could move at top speed well out. But once combat was over, then it was just like back to like crawling along. But I was like, nope, I'm going to do this. And then, so I did that. And then it like finally found a place where I could like sell shit and like dump crap off. And then I played through and like finished that act. And then it happened freaking again. There was another like at another like start of a chapter, like, the exact same like mechanic. It was like there's all these golems that came to life in this scene, and you're like having to fight all this stuff on a battlefield. And then they do the same thing where they put out an aura and you've got to stay in it. And I'm like 100% overweight at the end of that chapter too, for whatever reason. I think it's because I guess because I like beat a boss and like got a bunch of equipment picked up or something. I don't know, but it happened again. And I'm like, oh my God, this fucking game.
Yeah, I appreciate it when games that like know they're going to give you stuff make that stuff not count until you like get rid of when you get below the threshold again. Mm-hmm. Then the stuff like starts to count.
Yeah, I don't know. I just fucking encumbrance in games is just the dumbest thing anyway. But I fucking hate it, and I will just move along at a crawls at a snail's pace in spite of it, because I'm just do that then give up the stuff. But like the other, oh gosh, so like by the third game, like the first two games were like very hateful in their inventory management. It was just like so friggin' terrible. And then by the third game, there was like some improvements. Like the second game, you had to craft a lot. Like if you were using potions and stuff, like you had to use all buttload of ingredients to keep up with making all these potions and traps and all this other crap. Not to mention like you could craft equipment and everything, but that all that stuff had a weight, and it was just like just carrying around like your own equipment that you're wearing like took up like a third of your weight limit. And so it's like I had, you know, thousands of ingredients because I pick up everything, and so I'd have to put all of that into storage. Uh-huh. But when you wanted to craft something, you had to go pull all of that stuff back out of storage. You couldn't craft from storage, and it was like making me insane with like how irritating the that inventory management was. Even like when you were like crafting with like a vendor or something, it was just like, nope, gotta go. What do you need? Let me go see if I've got it in storage and pull out like the 3 blocks of wood or whatever the hell you're asking for and come back. And yeah, it was a total pain in the ass. But then like the 3rd game, they finally like, that was the least idiotic of all of them. Because by the 3rd game, like they were just like, okay, you still can't craft from storage, but we're just going to make ingredients weigh nothing. So it was like, okay, well, at least now all the crap that I pick up constantly, like monster parts and stuff, like aren't weighing me down, and I don't have to keep going back to the inns or whatever to dump everything off in storage. And they had like saddlebags that you could upgrade for the horse, which was the only use that the horse had, was that you could equip it with stuff to let you carry more in your inventory. But you didn't have to,
yeah,
you didn't have to like interact with the horse to put stuff away. It just increased your overall encumbrance of whatever you were carrying around. But yeah, the 1st game was the worst, because it was the same. It was like what you're saying, like selling swords and stuff was the way to make the most money in that game. But you could literally only carry 2 swords, right? Like you could carry your main Witcher sword and then a secondary weapon. There's maybe like a slot for like a dagger or something, but I don't recall. And so like if somebody dropped a weapon on the ground, like you'd have to go put your weapons that you used to fight into storage and go back to where the weapons were dropped on the ground and pick them up and then go sell them to a vendor and then go back into storage and get the weapons you're using to fight to re-equip them. Like you could not just carry weapons around, extra ones around in your inventory.
Yeah, that does
completely
sound
idiotic.
Awful. It makes me wonder if they were trying to be like realistic.
I don't know what it was, but it was just like, it pissed me off to no end because that was where all the money in the game came from. And I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know. They like, they're just like so needlessly stingy with stuff in, and I'm not sure if it's just because they didn't know how to balance a game when they made that 1st one or what, but it was just like, it's like,
yeah,
it's like, you had to hoard and hoard to be able to just like buy the materials to like do anything, you know? And the 2nd game was also, it was like a total, it was like so gold stingy. Like, there were certain weapons. It's like to craft the weapon, you had to go find all these materials, and then you had to buy this like really expensive blueprint. And then you still had to pay the person that you wanted to craft it some buttload of money. And it could end up being like, but then there was also like some weapons that you could just buy that they were selling. And it's just like it almost barely saved you any money to do to craft them. And sometimes it was just like a total waste of time, because it's like, oh, I can put all this work into crafting this item, but then some guy might just drop it later. And I'd spent, you know, you spend all this gold like trying to get the blueprint and then craft stuff and materials and then the crafting fee. And for it to just be a regular drop like later in the game or something. And most of the like really good weapons were ones that you just found through a quest or something anyway. So it was just like they had this whole like crafting system that was just like a fucking punch in the dick, because it was so worthless and money was like so important for everything else in the game. Like all of the potions you had to buy the recipes for and stuff. And it's just so dumb.
Well, I like Kingdom Come Deliverance. I had to do a side quest to learn how to read.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe like, it's because the the first two games I played, you know, I played them now, and I don't know, like, were games just a lot more terrible, like, 10 years ago, like, when the first one came out? But, like, I don't understand how these, the first two games, I don't understand how the game got the popularity it did when the first two games were, like, so just, like, irritating of The Witcher. And the third one was just, like, very, like, kind of Ubisoft-ish, and it's just, like, massive number of checkpoints and stuff. I mean, you played that one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I played the second
and third. But, like, yeah. But, I mean, you remember that, like, the potion, like, they changed a bunch of stuff to make it, like, a lot more convenient for the third game. Like, once you crafted a potion, you never had to use the ingredients to make it again. You just had to, like, every time you rested, like, they would refresh. Which was very different than the first one, which was part of why I was, like, so, like, had this dragon's hoard of ingredients, because it's like, if I wanted to use a potion, I had to craft it every single time from ingredients.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really... I mean, I don't even remember half the like, crafting complaint stuff you have about...
You probably just ignored it. You probably was just like, I remember, well, I can't afford any of these recipes, so screw it. It just moved on.
I mean, it really could have been the case. Or I picked, like, one or two out of a list, or, like, looked at a wiki and was just like, which ones are worth making? Like, which ones can I only
get to making? Yeah, and it's, like, two things. Like that. There's, like... Yeah, and I mean, that's part of it. It's like, okay, there's only, like, three recipes that are worth buying, because all the other ones, like, you'll just have a better weapon by the time you can afford to make it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that was probably it, too. Like, I realized, oh, if I crafted this thing, if I go to the next map or whatever into, you know... You go to the next location, and it's like, oh, well, that thing that I just made is invalid.
That's part of the part. That's, like, immediately. That's part of what pisses me off about it. It's like, why put such a tax on a player to make this one thing? Like, that stuff should have, like, they should have dropped a digit off of all of the crafting prices of all that stuff. Because it was just, like, so much work just to get the materials to do it most of the time. And there were so many hoops. It was, like, blocked by three things. Like, you had to have a recipe and find a crafter and have the materials. And it's just like, no other game does that. It's like, other games, it's like, you get the materials and it's a free thing to make.
Well, this is an MMO.
I mean, most MMOs, it's, you make it for free too. If you have the materials,
what?
You just make it.
Oh, yeah, except for those ones where it, like, has an opportunity to fail while you're
Those are just
it.
Fucking grindfest bullshit mechanics anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So, have you been playing anything?
Well, other than I started playing Kenshi over again. Okay. It was just funny. You're talking about, like, how you start out, like, so terrible at combat. Like, that's one of the things I kind of like about the game, is like how bad you start out. And then, like, if you put more effort into it, like, I'm putting a lot more effort into it this time, like, getting my characters, like, really, really strong, instead of just, like, the last time I just kind of used, like, I won via mob. I was just like, let me just get, like, 50 guys and they'll just, like, swarm every enemy and I'll just overwhelm them, was how I did it. But this time I'm going for more, like, quality over quantity. So I'm just, like, I'm in the process of, like, training up the last few guys to get them, like, just, like, really high stats and skills and stuff. And anyway, it's kind of fun to do it that way. Like, I mean, the first time I played the game, like, as soon as I could afford it, I hired a couple extra guys to help me, like, with combats and stuff. But this time it was a lot more brutal. I played, like, just as a single character for quite a long time. But, like, it's kind of interesting to see, like, if you can get your character strong enough, like, over time, and kind of know some of the tricks on how to level up certain parts first or quickly. Like, it's kind of cool to just, like, have one guy, like, your guy with a sword, like, walk into a town and just, like, slaughter every single person. But I got some games from the Summer Steam Fest.
Oh, you actually bought stuff?
Yeah, I bought a couple of things. And I'm playing one now. I think one of them was a demo that we played before. So I'm playing it on Steam, but I'm playing that game, Secrets of Grindia. And it's like, I mean, it's like a cute little like collector crafting game, but it's like the name is called Grindia, and like the main city is called Evergrind, and it's like very tongue in cheek about like certain parts of the game, right? There, like there's characters that have these like sentient magical objects with them, and your sentient magical object is a bag named Bag, and that's like how they explain away the fact that you have like an endless inventory. It's like he's like, yeah, your sentient bag of holding, and he's kind of an asshole. So there's like a little bit of like kind of tongue-in-cheek humor with it, and like the names of some of the areas and stuff. But it's just, I don't know. It's like a top down kind of Zelda, like Link to the Past Zelda kind of art style and combat style, you know?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, we played it together.
I'm just like kind of enjoying just like, you know, working with some like trying out some of the different skill combinations and stuff. There's another game I got I haven't really played much of yet called Drova, which is another like pixel art RPG. But I picked both of those up because they were both like 12 or 13 bucks a piece, you know, for the spring sale. Another one that I played, these are all like 2D art games. another one I played was Spiritfarer, which is like, it's like a crafting, like, I don't know, you run like a death hotel. That's what I'm going to call it. I don't know. Like you take over for Charon, the boatman of the, you know, the, And so you travel around. There's like this, it's like you're in a boat and you travel around to all these different islands and stuff, picking up spirits. And they have like different requests and needs, and they kind of take the form of quests and other stuff. But like you build out your boat. It's like you can build it out and expand it. It starts as like kind of like a medium sized barge, but you can build it out to like this massive barge, and you build rooms on it. But it's like it's all like 2D, like platformer is like the way that the game is presented. So everything you build, like you kind of have to like Tetris up and down to like fit into your boat, and some of the buildings have kind of odd shapes, so you got to figure out how to get them all to fit together. But like you can put all these crafting stuff in onto your boat, and like some of it's like stuff that makes no sense. Like you can put a garden in a field in there, and you can put stables for cows and stuff on the boat. But then there's like crafting stations, like kitchens and like a forge and stuff like that. Some of the materials you have to go out onto islands to gather, like metal and wood and stuff. And then there's like a lot of,
So you can get off the boat.
Yes, yeah. You jump off the boat. There's like lots of islands to explore, and they have cities and stuff in them. So there's all kinds of like other like NPCs walking around. So like exploring the different cities and stuff is kind of how you find some of the spirits, and then also how you find like stuff that you need to do quests for them. There's like a kind of a Metroidvania aspect to it as well, where like you get kind of travel powers as you do things, as you find spirits and advance their storylines. They'll give you tokens, and you use those to like unlock new movement abilities and stuff. but it's sort of all about death and saying goodbye and stuff. And so there's kind of like a sad story about it. And then, you know, later at the end, it's like, the big reveal is like that you're the one who's dying of cancer. And this is, I guess, like your brain, like kind of saying goodbye to everyone as you're kind of like slowly dying and letting go.
Oh, well, I mean, that sounds like an indie game.
Yeah, but that one was fun. It was just, I mean, I liked it. It was just like a nice little relaxing kind of, there wasn't, you know, like a lot of games are just, this one, because it was just very kind of chill to play, you know?
Yeah.
Just kind of relaxing, which was a good break after playing all the stupid Witcher games, which were, you know, kind of crazy. Oh my gosh. Okay. But like, again, like everybody really liked The Witcher and stuff, but it's just like, I feel like there was way too much story. I'm just like, oh God, there was just so many videos to watch. I just like, I don't know why people want that. I just get so bored. And,
just take so,
yes, there's just so many. And I just like, I don't know, how many hours did I play? So The Witcher, I mean, I pretty much did all of the quests I could find and stuff. Mm-hmm. The Witcher, I played it for 267 hours. And I feel like 67 of that was just watching shit, watching videos and doing and dialogues. And Kinchi, I have played for 600 hours. And it's like, not like so little of that. Like, there is story stuff, but it's not like, but it's like stuff, it's like active story. Like, I'm still doing stuff. So much of like modern games is just like, just watching crap happen. Just get so bored.
I was looking to see how much time I spent on Witcher 3, 149 hours. How much did you say you spent?
267.
Jeez. And like, I did all the DLC stuff.
Did you do every quest? Did you find every single, did you get to every single check mark?
Every question mark, yeah, on the map.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I didn't do was Gwent.
Well, maybe that's where that extra 100 hours came from.
Maybe. Or maybe it's because I used the horse. I don't know. I think what I'll probably, depending on how far I get in this game in the next 2 weeks while I'm on vacation, if I beat Kingdom Come Deliverance, I may treat myself to Death Stranding 2 for my birthday.
You just want that little puppet character.
Doll man.
Yeah.
Yes. I cannot deny that is a draw. But also, I just really liked the first game.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun putting stuff up and making zipline networks and all the typical goofy Kojima stuff. I can't really tell you. I was trying to think about what the story was.
I don't remember either. I just remember that there was ghosts and you pee on them.
Yeah. You, like, something exploded or something, and you had to reconnect America on a network, and you could only talk to people through holograms.
Yeah.
Except for a few people. And you could...
I still stand by my, like, it was COVID and you're an Amazon delivery worker. You're like the essential worker during COVID and everybody else is like sheltering in place.
Yeah, I mean, that was very coincidental that it was released basically at the same time as that stuff happened. So I've heard that they added more Metal Gear into that game.
Does that mean
which
stealth?
Is also, I mean, there was already stealth. I don't know exactly what that means.
There was stealth
in Death Stranding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. And I don't understand how I could be stealthy when I was carrying like two stories of packages on my back.
Well, you deliver those and then
and then
you can be stealthy. Did you not, what did you do with those guys? Like all the, what do they call them? The bad humans. The bad humans. Yeah.
I don't know. I remember like killing a bunch of them.
I don't think you did. Because if you killed them, you would have to like dispose of their bodies, or it would cause like a whiteout or whatever they call that. I mean, I never had that happen. Because I never killed them.
I don't know. I feel like I blasted a bunch of people. Was there not guns in the game?
There were guns. Like, there were non-lethal guns.
I feel like
guns.
I killed a bunch of people. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, you could hit them with a truck. Like, that would also work. But, yeah, I stealthed all the time in that game. And
yeah, I don't remember what I did.
I mean, I would stealth with some of the BTs also, because if you stealthed good enough with those things, there were like the ambient ones that would just kind of like float around, and like if they got you, they would like summon a bigger monster fight. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
But if you stealthed, you could they had like a little umbilical cord that you could cut with some kind of like wire, like chiral wire or something, but you could cut that, and then that would like disable them. Like it would disconnect them and they would like dissipate. So you could get rid of them that way.
I don't know. I guess if there was stealth, I probably would have used it, because I mean, why wouldn't I? But,
yeah.
I don't know. Were there not like non-lethal guns?
There were non-lethal guns. Yeah.
All I remember is building zip lines.
Yeah. I mean, eventually, like there was a few things I would go into those camps specifically for. I forget exactly what, but I would like raid. I would like raid their stuff all the time.
Wait, you like steal? Yes, you go to their mailbox and like gather all the stolen mail.
Yeah. And I think you could also pick up a bunch of resources there. So you could like pick up a bunch of like a lot of and load those up into a truck and then drive off.
What was the resource? I thought the resource was likes.
No, you had resources like components that you would use to construct your stuff.
Mm.
And you could dump those into roads, or you could dump those into
zip lines. Yeah.
But there was like different materials you had to use.
I feel like the best thing to go there to those places though was to like steal vehicles. I remember stealing vehicles from them.
Yeah, I would steal vehicles from them, but I don't think their truck was as good. Their truck was good before you could build your own truck. And so you could just run up there and steal that thing.
Yeah.
But when you could build your own truck, then that was better, because it was closed top, so it wouldn't like none of your stuff that you're hauling would get ruined by the rain or anything.
Mm-hmm. God, that game is so weird.
I can't believe Superman comes out on Friday.
The new movie?
Yeah, the new one. What else would I be talking about?
It could have been anything.
I'm excited for that movie.
Because of crypto?
Yeah. Well, because of crypto, I mean, there's just so much wild stuff that I like never thought would be in a Superman movie, especially like a this is our reboot Superman.
Uh-huh.
Because they've got, like, weird pulls, like Mr. Terrific, you know.
And Guy Gardner.
Guy Gardner.
Yeah. I feel like, and like, I think the villain is, or maybe he's just a side character, but, like, Metamorpho, I think, is in it.
He's in it. Luthor's in it.
But, like, I feel like it's kind of the point where it's like Superman is like totally ubiquitous, right?
Uh-huh.
Which, like look at the last Superman movie. Like the last one was like Superman Returns, right? Like the last like thing that kicked it off. Last Superman movie that kicked off Superman, right? Or Superman Returns.
Or right? Well, no, it would have been Man of Steel.
Or whatever. It was Man of Steel. But still, that one too, like,
assumed you knew Superman.
Yeah, they didn't do like the origin thing.
But they did do a lot of flashbacks.
Yeah.
Do you recall that? Like, they had like the flashback.
No, that movie was so stupid, I forgot a lot about
it. It was really stupid.
All I remember is, how are you going to go, like, fight your way straight up to space, like, and then come back down? And then land exactly back in Metropolis again, unless Metropolis is the size of like a continent.
I mean, the way they were fighting.
And it seemed like it was from that fight scene.
Yes.
Because it was just like this like infinite funhouse mirror line of buildings.
Uh-huh.
And they destroyed like 5,000 of them.
Yeah.
It was so ridiculous.
And I guess Gotham City was part of that destruction too. According to,
I don't know, but it was like definitely like 50 9/11s worth of destruction at least.
Yeah. Yeah. All because of Superman.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, you're supposed to be this great guy and like you're like just 9/11ing your town like up and down all day. It's like,
well, even his hometown, like, right? Like he goes back to Smallville. And destroys that place.
But it's like, you could have gone like 5 feet over to the ocean. You could have fought in the ocean. It was like right there.
Yeah.
It's a coastal city. But no, you're like throwing buildings full of people at each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was such a, like, that's part of it. It's like, Superman is such a dick in that movie. That it's just like, no.
Yeah, he is. And which is why his, like, heel turn when he actually just, like, murders a guy isn't really effective, you know, like when he just like kills Zod there and like people are shocked. And I'm like, why are you shocked? You don't know how many people he just killed throughout the city.
Like he punched Zod through five buildings. He's already killed. Like, I mean, like seriously, like he's already killed probably 500 people with just like one punch to Zod.
Yeah. Like he's right. He's probably killed like a Manhattan's worth of people with a handful of shots leading up to that, you know, where he breaks his neck or whatever.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. Like, you can't have it both ways. Like, there's a reason. Like, you know, Dragon Ball does all their fighting out in the middle of nowhere, right? Because if you're going to have a Dragon Ball fight, you got to be able to punch him through a mountain or something. And that's like, that's okay to do that.
Yeah.
But even Dragon Ball made a bigger deal out of like, these dudes are like eating everybody in a city, you know?
Yeah.
Like they.
Yes. I think it's just like the total lack of acknowledgement of like the destruction that was happening, right? It was just there for like special effects porn to entertain,
yeah,
but like no thought to like the real world like situation. I don't know, but that's part of like also why like the Spider-Man movie was great, like the one that had Vulture in it,
uh-huh,
because it kind of like looked at like, oh, the regular people situation of all that crap that happened in the New York attack.
Yeah.
And it's like why, you know, that Captain America show could have been good, except it wasn't because it was just dumb.
Yeah.
Like, they could have, like, focused on, like, the human aspect of, like, that whole situation, too, but did not.
No. No, that fell flat in a lot of ways. Marvel continues to try to, like, say that they're in different phases, I suppose.
Uh-huh.
Even though that doesn't really matter anymore, or... Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, it's more marketing than it is anything else.
Yeah, it's like they're still trying to, like, act like there's a plan and things culminate, but it's like, no. Like, that hasn't mattered since the Infinity Gauntlet stuff ended. There's been no, like, culminating, like, everything comes together and matters.
Yeah.
Since then, it's all just like a bunch of one-off stuff, and they're all like, and it's all, like, so, like, up its own ass about, like, well, you got to watch everything on Disney Plus now for this movie to make any sense. And it's just like, ugh.
Do you remember when the Matrix sequels were coming out? And they were like, hey, well, you've got to watch the Animatrix, and you should watch, and you should play the Matrix video game, and you should also read this Matrix comic book, right? Otherwise, the second movie and the third movie are, like, not going to make sense.
Yeah, they were just terrible.
Exactly. That's kind of my point. Is that the overextension of, like, consume this content just weakens each individual product. So None of them have any kind of interesting intentions. They might be fun. Like, one or two might be fun in and of itself, but that's, like, become the exception at this point, where it's like, maybe it's all right, you know, but there aren't, like, there's just not a lot of, like, expectation that anything is going to be good or connected or lead to something. And then they've, like, never stopped doing the, like, post credits here's a thing, and so many of those have just been like, this amounts to nothing, or the post credits thing isn't really anything, it's just kind of a wet fart of a joke or something that like, you stuck around and you watched, you know, 3 million visual effects team credits and you know, this was 20 minutes of the runtime. Here's a kind of a nothing scene.
Here's Howard Duck farting in a jar.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it's just, well, I don't know. And just, there's just so many problems. Like, there were so many multiverse movies and they all had different rules. It's just like,
yeah. What? Yeah, like the Spider-Man one with Doctor Strange had a different set of concepts than the Doctor Strange one.
The Doctor Strange one, yeah. And then that was all different than Loki, because Loki, it was like alternate timelines and like choices that like caused it, and that they were, you know, and it was just,
yeah. But that's kind of the problem I've seen with any outside of Futurama, where when anybody tries to introduce a multiverse scenario and it's like, oh, there's like all of these infinite possibilities. And most of the time they end up with Universe A and Universe Flying Mongooses, and that's it. You know?
Yeah. And then somewhere there's always a Nazi dimension. There's always the dimension where Hitler won the war,
right? Yeah, or where it's just like everybody's the same, but they're bad guys or something.
Yeah, yeah. The heroes are the villains. What? Lex Luthor's the hero. Yeah, that kind of crap too.
Yeah.
That's like the South Park universe, where it was like everybody had mustaches.
Well, all that said, I do have tickets to the Fantastic Four movie.
Well, that one's set in the past, so it's before all that other stuff screwed up the Marvel Universe, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's one of those things where I'm like, oh, this looks interesting on its own. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. Plus, it's been a long time since the Fantastic Four has like been close to good. So let's see what happens.
There's been, I mean, the bar is set so low.
Yeah.
Like, all it has to do is not be the worst, and it'll be better than every other Fantastic Four attempt.
Yeah, so far, I don't think they have a superhero machine like they did in the Jessica Alba one.
Yes.
And, gosh, I watched the one with Galactus, where Galactus was a space cloud, and I don't remember really anything about that. And I didn't watch the other two.
I don't know if it was two or one. I just remember that was the one where like the guy that played Killmonger was Johnny Storm, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I remember it, but not very well. But again, it was just like so meh that nobody remembers to talk about it.
Maybe it'll be fun.
And then, like, but you know, they totally replaced the guy that was Mr. Fantastic in their multiverse movie.
In the multiverse, yeah. Because that was an alternate universe Mr. Fantastic, but not necessarily.
Even though all the other alternate universe people were played by the same actors.
I guess except
for Spider-Man, but that was because of Spider-Man movies. there were still people who played Spider-Man at a point, but every Doctor Strange was still Benedict Cumberbatch.
Every Doctor Strange was still Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
I mean, they pulled in.
There wasn't like, oh, you're Doctor Strange. You look completely fucking different. You know.
Yeah. In our universe, Doctor Strange is actually Mark Ruffalo.
Yes. Our Doctor Strange is Edward Norton.
that would have been good. Yeah. Like, just pull Edward Norton in for a character that, even though he's technically part of, like, he was in that Hulk movie or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Oh man. Or what also would have been funny is if you had a bunch of other, like you just had all of the other Avengers that like they're Doctor Strange in that universe. So it's like, you've got Robert Downey Jr. Doctor Strange, you know, you've got, Scarlett Johansson, Doctor Strange. That would have been funny. It would have been very expensive. Yes. But
yes. Oh gosh. What's her name? Who played the elder?
Tilda Swinton. Tilda Swinton Strange.
Tilda Swinton, Doctor Strange.
Yeah, the multiverse stuff is kind of wasted, I guess.
It was so confusing.
Well, and the worst,
because Thor had different rules too. It's like, what?
Thor had multiverse stuff.
Yeah, there was like the Nine Realms, and they had like that portal that they opened up, and that the Thor 2 movie that everybody forgets about.
Yeah, I do forget Thor 2 most of the time.
Uh huh.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem with comic books, and I guess now that's the problem with comic book movies is you got a million writers and they all have a million takes, and that's why. That's why you end up with a multiverse in the first place, because it's like, wait, you may. Right.
And then there's also a microverse with a friggin' Ant-Man terrible green screen movie. Yeah.
Which that doesn't mean anything anymore.
I
So I don't even know if Ant-Man's going to show up in anything else.
Why? Is it over?
I don't know. That's the thing. Like, I don't know.
I assume it's not going to happen, but it's like, you know, this Fantastic Four movie being set in the '60s or whatever, like is a perfectly reasonable excuse for them to Days of Future Past the whole situation.
Yeah.
Right. Like, let's wipe the slate clean.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know how much of it being in the '60s is going to matter by the end of the film.
Yeah. I don't know. This is kind of what I imagine, like, when they do get ready to, like, say, like, okay, you know, fucking, I don't know who's going to be sticking around at this point, but, like, at a minimum, you know, like, Thor is too old to be Thor now, or something, right? Like, they might, like, I kind of wonder if they'll just, like, when they do a reboot, they'll, like, have a new, like, starter movie and call it, like, Marvel number one or something, and like just introduce like all of the concepts of like X-Men and other Marvel characters and stuff, just like all in one sort of thing. Because I think that's part of it too. It's like they got X-Men back,
yeah,
right. So now like they can bring them into like that whole situation, and that complicates the crap out of everything.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean they've featured Wolverine in a movie, and they joked that he would be doing it for 100 years. And at this point, I think they're probably right.
Yeah, as long as he keeps, you know, drinking that lamb's blood or whatever it is, that human growth hormone or whatever.
Yeah.
Although I think he must be the real like liberal baby eating juice that he's got to get young, because he's not all like swollen and weird like
Alex Jones or something.
Well sure, but I was gonna say like who's the podcast idiot?
Joe Rogan.
Yeah, he's not like swollen up like Joe Rogan or have a weird refrigerator body like Elon Musk.
Yeah,
those guys are definitely like down in the human growth hormone.
Yeah, they're definitely into something unsavory. Yeah, whatever causes you to look like a overripe tomato, I don't know what that what that is, but yeah. Hugh Jackman is not doing that.
Yeah, he is not doing that, because he doesn't look like he's like had several organ transplants added to his body without like taking the old organs out. That's what they look like.
Yeah, I don't know.
I have 7 hearts now.
Yeah. So you're saying they're just going full like Akira baby? Like,
I mean, you see them.
Yeah, I've seen them. I don't want to see them, but I have seen them. So, I mean, that is probably the whatever, I forget what, it's been a bit since I've seen Akira, but I suppose that is probably a similar operation that they've had to like expand themselves to horrible ends.
But he's probably had Botox, Hugh Jackman.
Probably. Yeah, maybe what he does is he doesn't do a lot of like mass generating stuff, like a lot of like whey.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah,
not anymore. Before, like, there was a time where he looked like roided out like crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you've seen him in, yeah, I guess like The Wolverine was probably the most roided out.
It was Days of Future Past. That's like he like expanded over time, and then like, yeah. And then the one that was like set before, he was like his biggest when he was his youngest, and then like then you look at like, if you look at him in that movie, and then if you look at him in like the first X-Men movie, it's like, what happened? Yeah.
And he was just like frozen for 30 years. It just like,
yeah,
lost all that, I guess, between.
Yeah. It was like, was he wearing a body cast for that whole time? It just kind of shrunk down.
Yeah. Yeah. He just looks like a normal guy in the first one. But even back then, we were like, oh yeah, he's kind of buff. But then it was like, oh no. Uh-oh.
Yeah. And then that just kind of became the standard, like, now every Marvel actor's got to have that, you know, crazy, like, worded out by, like, Captain America.
Yeah.
And all of them.
Well, I mean, Captain America, like, that was a guy who's, like, the most science roids to ever exist.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Sure, but, like, right, I mean, like, the only people that, like, get away with not having that body are, like,
Bruce Banner.
Bruce Banner, because he turns into the Hulk, and then Hulk's got, you know, the roided body, yeah. And then Iron Man, right?
Right. I mean, I don't think they make Spider-Man do that. Like, he looks pretty tame.
Right, but Spider-Man's got to have that, like, he's got to have
link.
That.
That's he's just not have Spider-Man's that look, right?
Yes.
That, like, gymnast muscle.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm just, like, comparing it to, like, the 90s superhero movies that we used to watch, you know, it was just like
Michael Keaton.
Where it's like, yeah, it's like, I feel like I could have beaten up Michael Keaton. <You know? laughs> Like,
yeah. Yeah. Somebody was brought up like Christopher Reeve's Superman. And it's like, he's in good shape, but yeah, he's not, you know, Henry Cavill.
Yeah, he just looks like he ran an aerobics, like an aerobics instructor body is what he had, right? Like, not like.
Yeah, he was not a, like, weird power lifter monster.
But to be fair, I feel like that's what a Kryptonian body would look like on our planet. I feel like he would be skinny as hell, because it's just like, if he can, like, lift a building because he's gotten, like, magic strength powers, like, how would he possibly build muscle to, like, that crazy extent?
Yeah. Have you ever seen Invincible?
Mm-hmm.
He kind of has that physique of, like, he's very lean, right? It's
Yeah, but Omni-Man didn't. Omni-Man was still, like, ridiculous.
Yeah, but I think the difference is that Omni-Man, right? So, like, if you consider, okay, you've got magic space muscle. Right. So like, you don't have to, like, do things to be way stronger than a human being. But if you want to be stronger than another superhuman being that has your powers, then you have to do something that it then, like, inflates that. Right. So Omni-Man comes from the race of, like, we beat each other up all the time. So, like, I would expect that his physique would have been built up from fighting other hims, versus Invincible, who's like, he's only ever had to fight Earth trouble. So, like,
right.
There's a more, one of the more recent seasons has him, like, trying to bulk up, and it's like, they're having to come up with all these insane inventions to be like, I don't know, here's this thing, try to lift that. And he's like, yeah, I can lift this. So, like, he has trouble on Earth being able to build muscle, because his average, you know, output is more than we can try to, like, tamp down. Right.
Right.
Anyway, I think there's a strange kind of logic to that, where, like, the guy who's never really had to work out to do anything looks like a regular guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, like, Superman growing up on Earth, I guess that is one thing that, like, if he grew up on Earth, he would never have had a situation in which he would need to work out, so he would not build a big physique. And then...
Right.
But then that calls into question, like, okay, so when Zod comes, that's got to be tough. Right?
Well, I don't know, because, I mean, Zod was trapped in the
Phantom Zone.
Phantom Zone. So, like, what even happened to him? Like, how is he not, like, a withered old, like,
well, yeah, and he would have been on Krypton, where he doesn't even have those powers. He's just this normal guy.
Yeah, right.
So if he's,
and he was like a nerd, right? Like he was some kind of politician.
I don't know. General Zod, isn't that, wasn't he a general? Not that that makes you a tough guy, but like, I mean, on Earth, you're probably an old man if you're a general.
Right.
I don't know how that translates to Krypton, but he might have been a nerd. I know Jor-El was a nerd, but
yeah. But like, was the title of general bestowed to him by Krypton, or did he give himself that title when he led a resistance?
Well, that's a good point. I don't know the answer to why he's considered a general, or like, or maybe it's like Colonel Sanders, where he just decided
it's just a title.
He just decided that that's what he is.
Maybe that's just his first name.
General?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it's just like a feeling. There's just kind of a General Zod about him.
It's just a General Zod.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you would think Superman would look like a nerd. And like, that's how he passes as Clark Kent, hyper nerd, is he just looks like a nerd.
Right. I don't know. Seems like a different, like those recent movies have a different lore about it. Like the sun is just like, it's like photosynthesis or something. It's like the sun just like builds muscle for him naturally or something.
The Superman lore has rarely been consistent, right? Like sometimes it's the sun, it makes him like store energy like a battery, right? And so the longer he's exposed to yellow sun, the more strength he has. But then as soon as he's exposed to kryptonite, it like wipes that. But also if he's exposed to the red sun, it also just like immediately neutralizes that. And then he has to like store it back up again. But then there's also the like, oh, what was it? I think it was then the Christopher Reeve one where they were like, his body density is higher than a normal person. And so that's what gives him like greater strength.
Right. But how would he even sit in the novice chair? Is he just like doing chair sits? Like, is he like holding himself up? But again, like, wouldn't he like break elevators?
Yeah. And then it's like, what happens if he tried to take a swimming class and he just like sinks to the bottom and he's like, I can't float.
Like when he's like in elevators or on the second story of any building, he's actually just flying like just above the floor so that he doesn't crush through it.
Uh-huh. He's like a ghost. Like he, the idea of the floor, you know, is what has to like keep him afloat. On top, he doesn't actually like interact with it. He just knows that psychologically that there's a barrier that he shouldn't cross. So,
ghost, stupid ghost rules.
You know ghost rules. They can walk through walls,
but they don't.
But they
fall
can't
through
fall through floors. And they
did you ever watch the TV show Ghost?
I'm almost done with the either last or most recent season of the British one.
Oh God. The American one does crap like that. They start to talk about the ghost rules of that kind of shit. It's like, well, we're pretty sure that like vertical stuff you can go through, but like you can't go through horizontal stuff. Cause it's like, that's why you can sleep in beds and sit in chairs and don't fall through the floor. they try to talk about it and explain the ghost rules.
Yeah,
because it doesn't make any sense.
And there was an episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation where they also have ghost rules, where like the deal is, I think there was like some kind of transporter accident, because that's always,
of course,
there
was. It's always that or hologram.
And so they do something to where they like their molecules are like out of phase, or let's just say it's out of phase. So like, they can pass through walls and nobody can hear them or see them, but they don't fall through the decks of the ship, and they maintain inertia. So like, hopefully the ship doesn't change direction, because
they were just immediately jettisoned into space by Ghost Girls.
Yeah, they didn't just like lose all of the momentum they had and suddenly like get flung. Like the artificial gravity has the same effect, I suppose, on because I guess the molecules do exist for some forces, but
were they trying to claim that there's a gravity particle?
I don't think they made that claim.
Oh, okay.
But I also don't recall if they addressed not falling through the floor or sticking to the floor by whatever force.
Mm-hmm. They don't ever really talk about like artificial gravity in the Star Trek universe either.
But yeah,
it's clearly a thing.
Yeah, they don't really bring it up. Just kind of like they rarely bring up the Universal Translator as well.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's like all this stuff that like goes out on the ship, the artificial gravity, never. That's like the perfect system. Mm-hmm. It's never failed in any show. Like,
life support will fail. Everything else will fail before the gravity fails.
Yeah. Even though that seems like the most complicated system.
Yeah.
Seems way more complicated than like running a heater.
Yeah. Yeah, the Klingons managed to knock out the HVAC, but still not the gravity somehow. Yeah.
But yes, the Universal Translator. That's something that like Robbie points out all the time. It's like the Universal Translator knows when they want to say a swear word in Klingon and not translate that into English.
Yeah. Yeah, like you'll hear a Klingon say like kapla or something like that. And it's like, whoa, wow, okay, they didn't translate that, you know.
Yeah. It's like, is it one of those like filters that like, you know, just turns everything into asterisks when you swear? Like what happens if somebody says dick and balls in English? Do like people that are Klingon just hear it the English word?
The Klingon on the other end is just like, what did he call me? Yeah, I don't know. I wonder though if the Universal Translator just filters all swears. So like even if you're saying them in English, if like there's a point in time where your mouth is moving and the other person receiving that is like, you just said a cuss at me. But the Universal Translator is translating it so that it doesn't sound like that. Like it's got TV edited for movie filter. It's like everybody's just saying like Mr. Falcon.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
That would be a fun episode to write. Well, you want to call it?
Sure.
What do we title this episode?
I don't know. Stupid horse.
No. The horse is good.
We could call it Superman caused 109/11.
Yeah. Okay. I guess that's fine.
That's fine.
That's fine. Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July. Superman did a bunch of 9/11s.
They did a bunch of 9/11s all over Metropolis.
Yeah.
And I guess potentially just the entire Eastern Seaboard. I guess we'll never really have a body count for that film.
No.
Oh, well. Everybody died. It was Superman's fault.
Yes. Because he couldn't have just gone over to the ocean like a couple miles.
Yeah. Just go over to the ocean. It's right there. There's just fish in the ocean. Nobody cares about fish. Except Aquaman. That's how they piss off Aquaman.